word for this message this morning came, quite a number of weeks ago. One morning when I was traveling with my job, I heard a brief interview on CBC Radio. And they were talking to a fella who has been a long-distance runner for many, many years. And he not only is a runner, but he is a trainer. And he said that in his experience over the years, he has taken so many of the analogies and lessons he's learned in long-distance running and he's helped not just runners, but he's helped people just with their challenges and their problems in life. And he keeps sharing with them lessons he's learned about how to run a race, how to conserve energy, all the things that are needed to win a race well. He said, of course, in long distance running, as in any race, you gauge yourself, your training, your capacity, your strength, and so on, so that you basically spend your last bit of energy as you cross the line. But in this interview, he said that in this co-current pandemic situation, he's having a very hard time using his lessons in long-distance running to help people. And he was struggling with why it wasn't working. And then one day it clued in on him. The finish line keeps moving. We've used all our energy and all our patience and all our endurance, and then the line moves again. What do we do then? And so I wanted to share this message with you this morning, I hope as a word of encouragement and exhortation, and just to be able to realize that in Christ Jesus, we have all we need to keep running the race. So let's turn to Matthew chapter 10, and then also Matthew 24, as I look at something that Jesus shares with his disciples in the morning. Matthew chapter 10 is the story of Jesus sending his 12 disciples out to go and preach the kingdom of God to the people of Israel. And in sending them out, he also gives them some warning. I'll pick it up in verse 16 of Matthew 10. Behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Therefore, be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to councils and scourge you in their synagogues. You'll be brought before governors and kings for my sake as a testimony to them and to the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, do not worry about how or what you should speak, for it will be given you in that hour what you should speak. For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father who speaks in you. Now brother will deliver a brother to death, and a father his children, and the children will rise up against parents and cause them to be put to death. And you will be hated by all for my name's sake. But he who endures to the end will be saved. I have to confess that most of my life, right from young adult on, I would read these scriptures and I would think, oh boy, that's scary. I sure hope it doesn't happen to me. Well, I don't think it happened directly to Jesus' disciples at the time they went out to share and to speak at this moment. But certainly through the centuries, this has happened to Christians in other parts of the world who have attempted to take the gospel into communities and societies who are very opposed to the gospel. And so, as I read this here, I think, Lord, maybe we're closer to this again now than we ever have been. Maybe here in Canada we're closer to this kind of situation than we've ever been before. How should we live? What should we be doing? And the phrase I want to pick out here is in verse 22, you will be hated by all for my name's sake, but he who endures to the end will be saved. Now turn to Matthew 24, and again, I just want to review this briefly, because Jesus says many of the same things, only in a little different context, in terms of now he's addressing what the end of the age will look like. And again, he brings up all kinds of challenging situations, but specifically to the followers of Christ, he says in verse 9, then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you'll be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. But he who endures to the end will be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all nations. Then the end will come. He who endures to the end There are two kinds of enduring. The word endure means to hold up. It's the idea of tolerating, bearing with, or putting up with something, standing firm, not losing courage under pressure. But there are two kinds of enduring. There is the kind of enduring where we hold steady through pain and suffering. You wait out the pain until you can get back on track with life. The best way I can illustrate enduring in this context would be enduring a migraine headache. Do any of you here ever have migraine headaches? A few do. I do. From time to time, I will get a migraine headache that will knock me down for 3 days. I happen to have one of those right over New Year's this year. I'm thankful I didn't have to be at work, but I basically laid at home for 3 days feeling like there was a hot screw going right through my head. I blame it now to too much caffeine, too much chocolate, too much sugar. But anyhow, I endured a migraine for those 3 days. And truthfully, I got nothing else done. Life stopped. I just endured it, got through it. Finally, one morning, it kind of let up. And by the afternoon, I was back going again. Some of you are enduring things like that. It almost shuts you down as you just try to deal with whatever's going on in your life. But there's another kind of enduring. It's an enduring that is an aspect of perseverance. And it is the reality that though we are facing challenges and struggles, we still keep going. We keep being fruitful. We keep working. We keep being active. It's a different kind of enduring. I believe that the scriptures give us a clear illustration of this. If you turn to Hebrews chapter 12, and you can see that in the life of Jesus and then in our lives, this is illustrated. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, and has sat down, or despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Here again we see the same word, enduring, endurance. Jesus endured the cross. I don't believe anyone will have any idea the intensity of anguish, pain, suffering, and isolation that our Lord felt as he hung on the cross. And it says he endured the cross. For him, time and eternity stood still as he hung there, paying the penalty for the sins of the whole world. And probably his greatest expression of anguish were his words, my God, why have you forsaken me? For him, life stopped as he felt separated from his heavenly Father because of our sin. And yet here in this same passage, we are encouraged as we look unto Jesus that we need to run the race with endurance. There's a race before us that we need to run with perseverance. And so I'd like to look at that idea this morning from the book of 2 Corinthians. In the life of Paul, some of the things that he shares with us about how we can deal with the need to endure, but also the need to press through and keep moving on in life. 2 Corinthians, I'm going to begin in chapter 1. As Paul makes reference to a challenge he faced in life. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 8. It says, "For we do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were burdened beyond measure, above strength, so that we despaired even of life." The New Living Translation paraphrases this by saying, "In Asia, we were crushed and completely overwhelmed, and we thought we would never live through it. In fact, we expected to die." What were some of those troubles? Well, in Paul's letter to Timothy, sometime after this, 2 Timothy 3:11, he actually makes reference to the suffering he experienced in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra. You can find those stories in Acts chapter 13 and 14. I'll just paraphrase them briefly for you here this morning. As Paul and his team would go from community to community, bringing this new gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, they would go to the Jewish synagogues first, and if they had an opening there, they would continue to teach, but oftentimes they were pushed out of there, and then they would go to the Gentiles in the marketplace and share the gospel with them. Well, it didn't always go well. In Antioch, for instance, it says the Jews opposed the truth spoken by Paul and expelled him from their region. Simple language, but I can only imagine the emotion and the trauma that went with being expelled from the region. In Iconium, a violent attempt was made by both Jews and Gentiles to abuse and stone them. You can feel the emotion, the stress, the trials rising, a violent attempt. And then in Lystra, it says, Paul was stoned and dragged from the city, supposing him to be dead. Wow. To me, that would be worse than a migraine. So many rocks thrown on you, they assume they killed you. So Paul says, we despaired of life. In fact, we expected to die. What did Paul do? Did he endure the situation, or did he continue to run with endurance? Now turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, the chapter that I promised I would preach on a couple of weeks ago. And I want to pick out some themes here from this chapter. Verse 1, therefore, since we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we do not lose heart. We do not lose heart. It would be easy to lose heart. It'd be easy to be discouraged. The King James Version says, we faint not. Apparently, the Greek meaning of that word faint not, is the idea of when you faint, you lose your courage. You lose your courage. Or you turn out to be a coward. You become faint-hearted. You collapse on the inside. But Paul said, because we receive this mercy, because we receive this ministry as we have received mercy, we do not lose heart. Again, the New Living Translation says, and so since God is in his mercy has given us this wonderful ministry, we never give up. Reminds me of that old voice in history of during, was it the Second World War? Was it Churchill or one of those leaders? Never give up. Never give up. What a wonderful message. Well, this is what Paul is saying. We never give up. How was he able to do that? Well, I'd like to share some of these thoughts with you now this morning, because in your situation, you might be feeling faint-hearted. And maybe as we see the encroachment of these days around us and the strong anti-Christian, anti-Christ sentiment that is growing in the world, we will be tempted to become faint-hearted. What mercy has the Lord given us that we may continue to be strong in him and persevere so that we might endure and run with endurance? First of all, here in verse 1, Paul says that he had received this ministry from the Lord. Brothers and sisters in Christ, you have an assignment from the Lord. Now, you may have various jobs and occupations and things that you do in life, but as we have received Christ Jesus as our Savior, and he comes to live in us, we have been given the privilege and the assignment of letting Christ shine forth through us. We are to be lights set on a hill. We are to be the salt of the earth. And so the first thing that comes to my mind in thinking about how to run with endurance is the fact that I've been given an assignment from the Lord, just like you have. God wants you to shine. God wants you to be salt and light. So don't ever think that it's a mistake or that you're just dreaming this up yourself. No, no. Go with the encouragement that God wants you to shine through. God wants to shine through you. So we received this ministry. Sometimes, though, I do feel faint-hearted. Sometimes, I'm honest with the fact that in various ways, I falter in this race of life. So Paul gives us further encouragement in this chapter. He says, we have received mercy. And God's mercy, when we feel faint-hearted, is not there to judge us or condemn us, but to be there to carry us and sustain us. How can he do that? I want you to look in 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 7. Here is one aspect of Christ's mercy in our lives. Paul says, we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. We are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our body. As I read those very familiar and encouraging verses there, one of the things that comes clear to me is one aspect of God's mercy in Paul's life is that Paul was able to not slip into having a victim mentality. He lived above his situations. And he's honest here in saying, oh my goodness, there were times we were hard-pressed. There were times we were perplexed. We were persecuted. We were struck down. But you know what? In spite of all the external pressures and challenges that we faced in Antioch and Iconium and Lystra and other communities, the truth was the life of Christ was sustaining us and shining out through us. We see Paul say this clear again, that keeping perspective of this reality helps us to live above our situation. You notice verse 6, it is the God who commanded light to shine out of the darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So here's one of the key things. God's mercy to run with endurance is that he wants to encourage you to not slip into self-pity and a victim mentality. Stay above that. Live above that. And know that Christ in you is shining forth regardless of the circumstances around you. The mercy of God helps us keep perspective. Paul maintained a distinction between what was happening physically and what was happening inwardly. Go to verse 16. It says, therefore we do not lose heart. There it is again. We don't become faint-hearted. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed daily. Oh! So in other words, to be able to run the race with endurance, the Lord is the one who is sustaining us, renewing us, and refreshing us inwardly every single day. It's a gift he's offering to us if we're willing to receive it. And let him minister to us and encourage us and help us. I love that old verse from the book of Isaiah. The promise that's there at the end of Isaiah chapter 40. I'll read it to you here. It says, have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and men, young men shall utterly fall, but those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. That encourages me so much because it's a promise of endurance to run the race well. To run the race and to honor the Lord. I want to share with you just a few other things beyond these chapters that I feel are really the gift of God's mercy for us to be able to run with endurance. Here's another one. I believe that the mercy of God is shown to us when we are able to live a forgiven life. There is nothing that will wear us down quicker than carrying a heavy load of shame and guilt. But when the Lord Lord says to you, I forgive you in Christ Jesus, the weight falls off our shoulders. Just like this illustration in Pilgrim's Progress, we will be able to run well if we're not carrying a weight of guilt and shame. Secondly, I believe we also will have much less weight on our shoulders as we allow the Lord to supply us with the ability to forgive others. Carrying resentment, revenge against other people is a huge weight that drags us down. But the Lord comes to set us free from that when we choose to forgive and leave all revenge up to the Lord. He is the one who will take care of the situation. I believe we have the Lord's mercy when we're able to cast every care on the Lord. Carrying the load of care is a heavy weight that wears us down. But as we are able to, by God's invitation, bring those cares to the Lord and leave them with Him, we have lightness in our step. I believe as well we're showing mercy in the Lord when we're able to worship in spirit and in truth. When we can just stand before the Lord and honor Him. You know, this morning, in this family Bible hour, because of our attendance, Carol asked if I could, Gail and I could stand outside in the foyer during the service, during the worship part. So we did. That's fine. You know, I kind of like it out there. Because when Kevin and his team were playing some of those songs, I was out there kind of dancing in the foyer. You know, when we are light in our hearts to worship the Lord, that will give us endurance for the race. It's a gift from the Lord. It's a gift to exalt Him. And then I am so thankful for the Word of God and for the presence of His Holy Spirit. Again, we sang about that this morning. When God's Spirit refreshes us day by day, when He is here to guide us and lead us, we can be assured that we can run well. If you remember back in Matthew chapter 10 that I started with, Jesus said that even when you stand before rulers and authorities, don't worry about what you're going to say. For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father who speaks in you. What a joy it is to know that we're never going to be abandoned in the midst of the challenges that come. And then lastly, again, back to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. As Paul concludes these thoughts in this chapter, he says, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. You know what? When we are facing challenges and tests, whether it be COVID, whether it be jobs, whether it be family, financial, whatever, as we allow ourselves to trust in the Lord and let Him guide us, give us strength, we also can be assured that He's molding and shaping us. And it's actually the pressure of challenges that really is one of the most interesting learning experiences that we have. I learn a lot more when I'm going through trials than when life is easy. And so as we allow the Lord to work in our hearts, we can be assured that there is far more, an exceeding eternal weight of glory to honor the Lord with. And then lastly, verse 18, we do not look at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. One of the mercies of God on our behalf is that God gives us the ability to see from a perspective of eternity. We actually can see past the temporary situation we're in. And we can say, Lord, show me what's happening, what really is of eternal worth and value. You know, so that we can go through our daily challenges and yet allow the Lord to lead us and guide us. A note I have written in the bottom of my Bible from many years ago is this. Don't worry about finding the perfect job. Make it your purpose to manifest the perfect Christ. That is the power of running with endurance, letting Christ show forth through us. So indeed, there are some traumas and conflicts, some loss and pain that we experience in life, which we just plain endure. Whether it be a migraine, whether it be the loss of a loved one, or any other number of things. But that is not the level the Lord wants us to stay at. On a deeper level, He invites us and empowers us and encourages us to run with endurance the race that is set before us, so that we can glorify Him. I get back to the very beginning of my message. The finish line seems to keep moving. But you know, as brothers and sisters in Christ, people of the Word, we've actually been trained to know how to live with that. You see, we live from the perspective that we know one day we're going to die physically. But you know what? We don't know when that day is, do we? We don't know when that ultimate finish line comes, when we'll be ushered into the presence of the Lord. But we have learned to live within the framework of that uncertain day, yet to just keep trusting the Lord and walking with Him. Secondly, I believe that we are also anticipating the return of the Lord Jesus. But we don't know that day. So therefore, we remain faithful to the Lord and endure to honor and to glorify Him. And so as Christians, we actually have already been taught and trained how to live with the uncertainty of the finish line, yet, or the timing of the finish line, but with the certainty that it will come. May we be found faithful to trust the Lord and to honor Him and to endure to the end. I believe that being saved, as Jesus mentioned here, enduring to the end and you'll be saved, is not being saved from the penalty of sin. I think what the Lord was encouraging us to do was to be saved from caving in to the pressures of those who oppose Christ in us. Don't cave in. You don't need to. We can stand strong in the Lord because of all His mercy given to us, and to let the Lord have His way in our lives. I also find a little bit of humor goes a long ways. I was at the post office here the other day buying some stamps. And when I went to use the debit machine, it wouldn't work. As I was trying to touch the screen to do my business, it wouldn't work. And finally the lady said, "Oh, I'm sorry." She said, "It doesn't work anymore like that. You have to use the stylus to make it work." And I said, "Oh, don't tell me even the debit machines are getting touchy." And you know, they looked at each other there behind the counter, and it was like, oh, somebody understands the pressure we're under. A little humor still will carry us to run the race well. So let's pray, and let's thank the Lord that He gives us what we need, so that we can honor and glorify Him to the end. Our gracious Father, thank You for Your love. Thank You for Your peace, and thank You for the promises we have in Your Word of all the mercy and grace that You pour into us that allows us to endure and, even more so, run with endurance. Lord, any one of a number of situations are affecting us here this morning and in the lives of our loved ones and people that we know. Lord, we ask that in the midst of all of those things, Lord, You would draw people unto Yourself, open the eyes of faith. Open, Lord God, their eyes of understanding to Your dear presence and Your promises, so that, Lord, we can receive all that You offer us. And, Lord, I don't know what the days ahead will be like. Lord, whether easy or whether challenging, but I do know You've called us to endure, to run well, and to continue to follow in the commission You've given to every Christian to go and be salt and light. And, Lord, if we are brought before kings and rulers, help us not to worry. But let us be assured that, Lord, Your Spirit will speak through us when we are called to give testimony of the goodness of the Lord and the King of Kings that we trust in and, Lord, look forward to meeting face to face one day. Thank You for Your grace in all of this, and, Lord God, that You are faithful and true. In Your precious name we ask it. Amen. Well, we have just a few minutes yet before those who have children upstairs for Sunday school need to go pick them up. I believe the team have one last song they'd like to sing as a blessing to conclude with here, and then I'd like to encourage those of you with children.